May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our strength and redeemer. Today we continue looking at Moses. In previous weeks we have heard how Moses murdered and hid the body of an Egyptian before escaping into the desert. It was in that desert that God visited Moses in the flames of the burning bush, telling him to be God's servant, returning to Egypt to rescue God's people. They had suffered for many years under the Egyptian oppression as slaves. Then God heard their calls. Moses was concerned that the Israelites wouldn't listen to him, but knowing that God sent him, Moses obediently spoke to the people of God, explaining everything that God told him. So far, we have seen that Moses listened to God, trusted God, and was prepared to follow God by answering God's call. Moses performed signs in front of the people, and they believed, and finally had hope once more that their situation would change. The people bowed down and worshipped, knowing that God had heard their cry. And I'm sure, feeling very positive and with confidence, Moses and Aaron go to see the Pharaoh, knowing that the Israelites were backing them and they were being faithful and obedient to God. They bring their demands for the Israelites to be free, to go for 3 days to worship God and to offer sacrifices in the desert. Pharaoh was very familiar with many gods as Egypt was full of them, but he hadn't heard of the God of Israel. Pharaoh assumed that the God of the Hebrew slaves couldn't be very powerful, and at first Pharaoh was not worried about Moses' message, for he had not seen an example of God's power. Pharaoh rejected the message and became outraged, assuming that the slaves just wanted a 3-day holiday. Not only did he say no, but he said that the people were lazy and just wanted to get out from working. In his rage, Pharaoh ordered the people to make the same amount of bricks, but instead of supplying them with the straw, the Israelites had to find the straw themselves. In effect, he had doubled their workload. Instead of life getting easier, it got harder for the Israelites. And once again, the people cried out and complained. Moses, who was following God's call, was expecting good things to happen immediately, experienced the situation going from bad to worse. He must have felt deflated as suddenly life became much harder for the slaves and they were angry. Moses experienced what we all have experienced as we move along our Christian path. At times, praying for a situation, expecting it to be resolved positively, only to receive bad news. We make the discovery of how amazing things can go from bad to worse, and we can think that God has abandoned us as we cry out to God in our heartbreak and anger. As Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 and 13 tells us, "Then you will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found," declared the Lord. To help us hold on to our anchor of faith and hope through these times when life goes from bad to worse, Jesus taught us to pray and to call out to God. Prayer is one of the most important things that we can do. It is the Holy Spirit working in us and provides a lifetime of honest, robust, delightful, angry, grateful, and sometimes desperate conversations with God. It is an invitation for a deeper relationship with God as we acknowledge God as the only one who can help us. We trust that God will hold us and will stand with us and for us. Jesus gives in our reading from Matthew a prayer that is an anchor for us all. It is the best known Christian prayer, as parents and godparents are instructed to teach it to their children. It is a prayer that my father remembered long after he had forgotten Mum's name and who the rest of the family were. It is a prayer that is an outline for praying. It provides opportunities for closeness, gentleness, and intimacy. It is a reminder that we don't pray alone. We pray with our brothers and sisters who are children of God. We pray together as the body of Christ. In this prayer, we see the relationship we share with God and with each other, witnessing to the love and the holiness of God, committing ourselves by showing our lives that we know that this is true. It is a hopeful prayer, but a realistic one, as we are acknowledging that God's will is not always done on earth. It is a prayer that helps in times of trouble. At times when there's a disaster, you will hear people say, "It's all God's fault." I will always remember when we had the Christchurch earthquake on the 22nd of February 2011. The Dean of Christchurch, Peter Beck, said, "The earthquake was not an act of God. The earthquake was the planet doing things the way the planet does. For me, as a Christian, the act of God is the love and compassion that people are sharing among one another." This shocking natural event helped gather people together. It helped build a community as the people of Christchurch knew that they were not alone, that people around New Zealand and around the world were surrounding them in prayer. They had a hope to hold on to as they cried out in their pain. In the prayer, we are also praying to be fed spiritually, reminding ourselves that our bodies need feeding, and so do our souls. This prayer is a request for spiritual food, for godly teaching, which we can then think over and put into practice daily. The Lord's Prayer is also a costly prayer, because like Moses, we don't always know what we may end up being called to do. But we pray because it is an expression of trust that helps us move forward so God's will may be done in our lives. The fear of being tested was something that Moses and the Israelites knew through decades of persecution. It is the same with us. We pray so that we have the strength to get through those times when we are challenged, when life goes from bad to worse. The prayer helps us to gain strength and grace as we travel on our spiritual journey. As we move through disappointments, we move towards the marvellous God who is really there with loving plans we could never imagine. In each of these moments, we make a decision whether we will reject God because God will not cooperate with us, or we will surrender to the mystery of a God who is too big to be understood or controlled. These are the moments of true growth and insight. After the shocking murder of 10 people in the USA last week, Bishop Michael Curry from America said, "Please join me in prayer for the shattered families in Buffalo. Please also join me in expressing our profound gratitude for the intervention by the Buffalo police that likely saved many other lives. Even amidst tragedy, even when manifestations of evil threaten to overwhelm, let us hold fast to the good. It is the only way that leads to life. It was a call for everyone to pray, to show solidarity for others, so that they know that they are loved and cared for as they call out to God in their deep pain, as their lives were so quickly shattered. And it is the same solidarity from around the world as we pray and cry out for the people of Ukraine. This week, from Thursday, May 26th to Sunday, the 5th of June, we are encouraged to join the global wave of prayer. The Archbishop of Canterbury is calling all Christians to pray between Ascension and Pentecost for more people to come to know the love and peace of Jesus Christ. We are being called to light up the world in prayer. As we pray for these five people, it provides us with an opportunity to spend time in God's presence, to help to build on our relationship with God, to listen to God, to feel God's heartbeat, and to stop and just be still. Time spent that helps us when we experience life like Moses, when our life goes from bad to worse. It could be all too easy to find excuses and reasons why a regular personal prayer time with God isn't possible. But let us not put life's precious steal this vital part of our life. It is when we spend time in the intimacy of God, our spirits enjoy the pattern of being daily refreshed and reawakened to God's own heart, and we know the necessity of doing so, and we become more passionate about being with God. As Henry Nguyen tells us, our life can be full of brokenness, broken relationships, broken promises, broken expectations. How can we live with that brokenness without becoming bitter and resentful, except by returning again and again to God's faithful presence in our lives? So as we pray through the good times and the bad times, prayer changes our perspective, our priorities, and changes us. It makes us dependent on God. Let us not give up, but keep persevering, knowing that we are never alone. Amen.